just a couple minutes here, because I just want you to know that Hebrews 11 is what the Lord is speaking to us. And really, on Tuesday night, we knew that the Lord wanted us to do warfare. And so we just began to position ourselves after worship to contend for breakthrough. And the Lord gave me a little something that I shared. And we were praying. I said, look, there's warfare, there's sickness, there's offense, there's junk that the enemy is constantly trying to bring, and we've got to contend, because that we have the right, the privilege, and the authority to do so. And so as we start praying, different people got stirred and began to pray, but little Joy Bachman decided to pray. Okay? And I don't know how long I can sustain without breaking down, probably not very long, but I'll try. And I had mentioned Kelly's issue that she'd been going through different things. And when Joy came up, she said a lot of things, but the point I heard was, Lord, we lift up Kelly, Father, that she would quit having seizures now. And then she said, we pray for Eleni that she would be healed now. And she prayed a bunch of times for a bunch of stuff, but every one of the things that she prayed, she said, now. And I had a whole nother message, okay? But it wasn't gonna happen, because God said, I want you to look at what the very first word of what Hebrews 11:1 is. It's now. Now faith is being confident of what we hope for, and the assurance about what we do not see. Now faith is. Now. And the Lord is challenging us. It says in the second verse that it's what the ancients were commended for. In other words, everybody before Jesus had to be in faith that he was going to do what God said he was going to do. He was going to come. It's what all of the people before Jesus were confident for. But it's how we understand how everything came to being. It says by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, and that everything that is seen was not made from visible things. Everything that we see came from an invisible place. And faith understands that. But faith isn't later, faith is now. And, James does say that there's a challenge that we have, that we should count joy, because our faith gets tested. And in that place of having our faith tested, there's a thing called perseverance that's developed. The King James says patience, but the actual word is really perseverance. That means you're standing, believing that what you haven't yet seen in the natural is coming, because you've first seen it in the spiritual. Okay? And that's the position that the Lord is inviting us and beckoning us into. And we have to understand the difference between presuming and faith is that presumption expects something that it hasn't first seen with the eyes of the Spirit. It's just presuming that whatever they wish for is going to happen. Wishing is not the same thing as having faith. Having faith is first seeing what the word says is there, and believing that it's coming, even if you haven't seen it with your natural eyes yet. The eyes of your spirit. Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. I pray that you will see by your spirit, man, what is already hovering, and that God wants to bring, because you standing in the place of believing and persevering is the thing that's going to cause the invisible to become visible. Your faith. Beloved, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. See, I found out, and I true confessions, just a minute here, that I didn't have faith for some things that I thought I did. But the only way that I could come to understand that is having the trial expose my fear. That's what trials do. If you don't have trials, I can tell you, you won't have faith. Now, as much as we run from trials, we run from pain, we try to avoid that grinding on our soul that causes us to be uncomfortable, God says, that's the very thing that I'm using to show you how I want you to live. Please don't run from the thing that's supposed to cause you to grow in your faith. See, that's the, you know, my personal challenge is everybody's got one. But it's going to expose your fear. It's going to expose your doubt. And when it does, that's when God says, now I want to train you on how to trust me and how to. Lester Summerall used to say something. He was one of my spiritual mentors way back in the day. And I got to meet a few guys early on in my walk. I got to meet Kenneth Hagin, and I thought he was awesome. Spent some time with him. I got to meet Lester Summerall before he went on to be with the Lord and had tremendous things. But Lester would always say, Lassie Broadcasting, it's, you know, some of you may not know, but it was a big, big gig over in, you know, for years. And he would say, feed your faith and starve your doubt to death. Yeah. And I, at first I was just, that's kind of corny, but I realized he is saying that because if you don't starve your doubts, you'll never be able to feed your faith. It's not one, you can't feed your faith without exposing your doubts and allowing God to consume them. And a doubt is when we believe in the wrong thing. A fear is when we believe God won't do, God can't, God isn't willing to do the very thing that he said. And we may not speak it, but if we harbor it, then we're allowing doubt to supplant a spot in our heart where faith is supposed to dwell. But I haven't seen it yet. That's right. But faith sees before it experiences it in the natural. And so I believe our faith is being, if you will, challenged, strengthened, encouraged by the Holy Spirit right now. That the righteous, which is who he calls us, will live by faith. And I discovered on this journey recently of the story of King Asa. If you remember, I was sharing with somebody, it's an Old Testament story about a king who was outnumbered by his enemies, one of the kings of Judah. The first thing he did is he goes into the land and he tears down all the demonic temples, all the demonic strongholds, all this stuff. He goes in there. But then as his enemies are coming against him, he says, he goes out to this valley and he goes, God, we are so outnumbered. There is no possible way we can win this battle. I have no clue what to do. I'm just going to cry out to you because I know that if there's anything that could possibly happen, it could only be by your hand. He lived that way and experienced victory after victory. God, it's all you and it's none me. I'll show up. But other than that, whatever you want, God, okay? And what he did was he lived in this way, and he regularly called the people to, because people drift easily, he would regularly call people to back to a place of consecration and saying, make sure you're trusting in God. Make sure you're trusting in God. And over the years, the land that he was governing was filled with peace and blessing and prosperity because he'd always lived by faith, trusting God. But in the end of his life, when his enemies began to come towards him, he did something different. He said, what I'm going to do is take all this gold that we've amassed through our blessings of God. I want to pay this other army to go over and beat these guys that are threatening us. I'm going to take a different path because I have the resources now to deal with my struggle, my trial, my assaults, my enemy. Now, I'm just going to pay somebody with the stuff that I've accumulated to deal with this situation. And he was bitterly defeated. He was wiped out. And the Spirit of God, the prophet, comes to him and says, why did you shift from living, trusting in faith, over to trusting in your own strength, your own power, your own wealth, your own stuff? You never won a victory by your own strength. And you presumed at this point, because you got so comfortable, that somehow you had this. We don't ever want to get to the place where we go, we got this. He's got this, and he's faithful. And that, for me, for being a guy, you know, I realized, you know, I've been a Christian now for about 30 years. I just turned 55 this week. I'm an old guy now. I've been a Christian over 30 years. It'll be 31 March 4th, I think. 84. It'll be 32 March 4th. I was in 84, I got saved. And everything I did in the early days was always just understanding, just do things by faith. But I realized as I've gotten older, the temptation to trust in me becomes, I didn't trust in me ever back then. Why? Because my life was so messed up and I was so aware of all the crazy stuff that I'd done. There was no possible way I could ever deliver myself. It was only by his grace, only by his mercy. But I've lived pretty clean for the last several decades. I've become a whole lot more respectable since then. I've done some stuff now, guys. Oh man, what a trap. What a trap. And I'm going, wait a minute. What happened? You start trusting in you. You start trusting. This is just me. And nobody's probably ever done this but me, but I understand that you might do this, so I'm letting you know. Okay? I go, God, I don't want to trust in me. He says, I don't want you to either. That ain't going to work. It's not a good plan. Okay? I want you to trust in me just like you did at the beginning. And so that's, that. You know, it's moving back. When I saw Joy praying, I mean, it was what was wild was a young man that I used to be here several years ago. He's just in town. Some of you know Phil Scharf, if you remember Phil. He showed up, and he was standing at the back wall, and he goes, Joy was praying, and he goes, wow, man. He goes, that's really what it's all about. I go, it is. I go, that's what you call childlike faith. Now, God, because your word says it, not because I'm just throwing a little gig here. Now, because that's what faith looks like. And in that moment, I'm thinking, you know, we got to return to childlike faith. We've got to return to childlike faith. We've got to ask the Lord, whatever trial we're in, whatever situation it is, because everybody's got a different one. Yours isn't the same as mine, but the reality of it is God is saying, I want to use this to bring you back to childlike faith. Will you allow me to? I want to use this for you to trust me completely. Will you allow me to? And then we get to choose. Will we be in faith or not? In the Greek word for faith being the substance of thing hoped for, the word is actually hypostasis, which comes from two words, and it means to undergird or be the substructure of something or someone that causes them to stand steady, stable, fixed, and in confident assurance. The substance, the faith, is the foundation that causes us to be stable, and without that faith, there's really nothing else that we can hope to see God do in our life. That's why it's so important for us to take the words of Scripture that say, when you ask God for something, you have to believe, as Marianne said, believe and not doubt. Because if you doubt, you're double-minded, and a double-minded person should not to expect to receive anything from the Lord. Now, our translation of that is that if you're double-minded, if you got a little bit of doubt, you should expect to receive a little bit of something. Right? But the word says, no, if you're allowing doubt, you shouldn't expect to receive anything. Well, that's not fair. No, that's the kingdom. The kingdom is a kingdom of faith, and that's why we've tolerated a degree of doubt, because we think somehow a little bit of doubt is okay as long as we don't doubt the big things. And he says, no, it just doesn't work like that at all. Doubt works in opposition to faith, and he says very clearly, your doubt is something that I want to deal with, because you're not one who's called to walk in doubt. You're called as one to walk in faith. It says it's the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence. The word evidence means in this elikos, which is the Greek word, who cares about that part? The part that is cool is it says it's the proof or the deed of an accomplished fact. It's not seen by the natural bodily eye. Very clearly, that word in the Greek text means you can't see it with your natural eye. It has to be seen by the eyes of the Spirit. That's the evidence. The evidence, so the idea that we are growing in faith comes back to the simple concept that we must behold the Lamb. We must see him. Because when we see him, we begin to see his kingdom. When we see his kingdom, we realize that in that kingdom, everything we need is available, and we're qualified to receive it. We can't just think at it, and we can't just hope at it. We actually have to place ourselves in a position to say, God, I want to see your kingdom in the spirit so I know that I can pray and expect to see it in the natural. That's our prayer. That's why Jesus said, here's the deal for you to have your life filled with abundance. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added under you. Seek it, see it, and you'll possess it. That's what faith looks like. And I believe that is what God wants us to expect and to pursue. And there is pain involved with this, because we would like to believe that we're always in faith about everything. Ain't no amen there. But you know that's what we would choose to believe. It's a lot easier for me to say I'm always in faith than it is for me to actually go, there's a whole bunch of areas I'm not, and God would like me to work on that with him. God would like me to surrender that area. I'll close with this idea, and that is that in the Gospels, Jesus speaks of four different soils. This parable of the sower. Everybody's heard the parable of the sower. God is the farmer. He sows the seed. The seed is the word of God, and it falls upon four different types of soil. The first of which is soil that is hard so much that the birds immediately steal it, and that word has no opportunity to produce anything. The second type of soil being a stony type of soil, and the soil being likened to the hearts of men. And that stony soil, although that seed begins to grow, because the stones aren't being removed, it can't grow very deep, and the trials of life cause it to easily wither. The next soil was the soil that has weeds in it, and those weeds choked out that plant, and eventually the sun, the affliction, the opposition to the kingdom in their life fried them, and they dried up. But the fourth soil was the soil that had been properly tended, and that soil had roots that went down and fruit that was abundance, okay? The word is the same in all of those, but the word received in faith in each of those had a certain activity that should have accompanied it. That hard ground at the beginning, if it would have rained upon that ground, if you would have allowed, if we would have allowed, if the person would have allowed the Spirit of God to tenderize that ground first, because the rain of God is always falling. If we receive it, we can be tenderized all the time, anytime. I don't believe, so you know my position on some of these doctrinal issues, I don't believe in the song, in the psalmist singing, I'm dry and I'm parched, because I'm not. I am dripping wet with the presence of God in my life, okay? I don't have a problem saying I can't find God. I find him every day. I spend time with him every day, and I drink deeply. So sometimes some of those songs, oh, I'm dry and I'm weary. I'm neither. I'm sopping wet. And I've got more desire for him than I've ever had in my life, okay? But the second aspect, though, is there are stones, and we have the responsibility to remove the stones. He says there's seed on the ground, and it's growing, but it's not going to keep that way. Your faith, if you believe the word of God is what it is, requires you to tend the soil and to remove the stones. The weeds, which are basically distractions, that's what they're likened to in the story. The other pursuits, the other distractions, he said, you got to pull the weeds. You can't live forever in two kingdoms, one in the kingdom and one in the world. It won't work. You can try it for a while because everybody does, but eventually you're going to have to say, I don't belong in the world, and those distractions will no longer. By faith, I am separating. No longer can weeds suck the life energy out of me, and I can think somehow I'm still qualified to receive all that God has. No, you're qualified by the blood. You're disqualified by the double-mindedness of your heart. And because ultimately, good soil produces good fruit, and I believe that's what God wants to do in all of our lives. So by faith, we don't just hope that our soil's good. By faith, We're in the process of saying this trial, this distraction, this assault right now, God, develop my faith. Help me remove the stones. And God, with your hand on mine, let's pull some weeds. Because ultimately, that's what transformation looks like, and it's really attractive. I can't change the world. The size of the problems right now are bigger than any of us could possibly fix. Even if the Republican Party tells you that they're going to make it okay. Okay? Because they're promising, by golly. Okay? But the reality is that if we'll transform our little garden, it'll become an invitation to somebody else. And before long, there's a whole lot of kingdom gardening going on. And a whole lot of power, transformation, and invitation by the Lord through us. We'll let our light shine. There'll be stuff happen. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you guys for hanging in there with me today. And I know we had an unconventional service, which is completely fine with me. Okay. When it comes to things being unconventional, I'm more concerned about you than I am about me, because I could do crazy stuff all the time, okay? I could swing from the fans. I could do flip-flops. None of that bothers me. It really doesn't, okay? But I'm afraid Dan, because he... No, I'm just kidding. Let's pray. Stand with me, if you will. Father, we love you. And, Lord, we thank you that, God, you have called us to be a people of faith. And, Lord, that there is a reality that the enemy would try to rob and steal and destroy, God, your kingdom, your people, and our faith to believe for the more. So, Father, today we just set ourselves, God, to say, have your way. But we set ourselves to say, we want to be people of faith. You want to be a person of faith? You say me too. You say yes today. Yes, yes, God. I want to be a person of faith, Lord, who doesn't have doubt resident within this temple, but we have a joyful expectancy, God, that we have the assurance of the unseen before it's seen in the natural, God, because you give our eyes of our heart understanding and enlightenment, Lord, and we can see it before it's seen in the natural. Lord, today we say, God, make us a people of faith. Lord, today we say, highlight so that we can partner with you the stones and the weeds, and the distractions, Lord, and the offenses. Ultimately, God, we just want you to be glorified. We believe your heart is for this city, and you've placed us here, God, to be agents of change. And we accept the responsibility. God, though it be a challenge that we're not up to, we know, God, it's not any problem because you're up to it. And so, Father, we trust in your grace. We thank you, God, for strengthening us in our faith. And we just pray one more time, God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 I want to remind our elders today, we're just going to run over to Joel and Lenny's house and anoint her and pray for her. So if you're one of the elders, hook up with me, and we'll roll over there in a few minutes.